Make sure you get as loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Continuous programming to the people in Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley.
In baseball, the Phillies defeated the Braves 4-1 yesterday.
Philadelphia Mayor John
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio Podcast number 29. Team Wigs was going to have a kick butt show broadcast from the South by Southwest Music Festival, but sadly it did not happen. Upon arrival at the Austin airport, Russ, Todd, and Jeff were detained by airport security. It seems their newly purchased t-shirts were deemed much too ironic, way too clever, and downright snidely hilarious. This would surely cause a public disturbance of epic proportions. So Team Wigs and their $150 hipster messy haircuts and their overly practiced demeanors of detached ennui were deported back to Philadelphia shirtless and thoroughly cavity searched upon request. Guys, that stunk. I was really looking forward to hanging out with all the hipsters down there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we hung back here and we just read all the blogs about all the stuff that went on. And but we rebounded nicely, Todd, because you found yourself an interview, didn't you?
I did. I came up with, interview gold.
It's rare that you can hunt down and bribe one of the people you really love, really admire, one of the real funny guys out there to sit down with you and hang out and have a real good tete-a-tete. And it was good, right?
And of course, we were talking about...
Russ Stark. No, of course, we're talking about Todd.
TV's Jim Gaffigan.
That's right, Mr. Jim Gaffigan.
And, I was attempted to explain to some friends who aren't necessarily really into comedy who Jim Gaffigan was, and I would say he's the guy who does the Hot Pockets material. He's very pale, and what they all know him by is the Sierra Mist commercial. Especially, I guess there was, and I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I guess some people did, and there was a commercial where he combed over his beard,
yep.
And was wearing a tutu and skates.
Yeah,
and so immediately once the people realize that it's that guy, like, oh, that guy's hysterical.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the common man, and you know, has to have their touchstones too when it comes to people that we dig. But it's nice that he's garnering that recognition that people know him from that.
Well, they actually get really really talented people. Who's the other guy? That's
Michael Ian Black is in the commercials with him.
Yeah, from People Variety.
Yeah, he's great.
Stella.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to Mr. Gaffigan. I noticed the pictures you took. The one startling thing is he's a giant.
Yeah, he's gigantic.
And you're not.
No, well, I'm slightly below average.
Right, you're below average in height. Right.
But, to stand next to him, and he doesn't appear to be that big when you see mm-hmm. the specials. And it's funny because even when I was kind of hanging around and waiting for him after the show to do the interview, he was doing this meet and greet. And he's just a very regular looking guy. And then as soon as someone would take their camera out to take a photograph with him, he would like push his chin in and make his eyes bulge out. And he just transforms into this like really... This pasty, weird-looking guy. And then the camera gets put away, and he's just a very friendly, kind of uncle-looking kind of guy.
Right. So you had a good time. Yeah, a lot of times you're like, maybe this guy will give me 2 or 3 minutes before or after the show. But not Jim, right?
He couldn't have been more cooperative and hospitable and gracious. He brought us back into the green room, and we spent about a half an hour, 45 minutes.
Was he clothed?
At the beginning, yes.
Mm-hmm.
One thing led to another.
Because a lot of times I know, like, girls I talk to have gone backstage, and they're like, oh, I've backed there for a half hour, 40 minutes, too. But then it turns out that people weren't clothed.
No, he was a great guy. He no ego was,
right.
and he was really appreciative and thanking us for coming out and doing the interview. And I thought this was really interesting, and I think I mentioned it to you guys, that he was really appreciative that we bought tickets. So
yeah, you mentioned
they must be bombarded with people attempting to, coming from radio stations and podcasts, mm-hmm. to try to get free tickets.
Ah, that's a little word to the wise, you young interviewers out there who want to get the big stars like Used Wigs Radio.
If you want to be like us podcasters.
Right. Get yourself an old tape recorder and dress up like Todd, and that'll help.
And speaking of the old tape recorder, we've mentioned this in the past, all the interviews that we've performed so far, full size old school tape recorder, and you have to press the two buttons to record and play to get the footage. And it feels even more ridiculous when you're backstage with someone who's kind of a big deal. I mean, I was a little bit awestruck. He's a guy that I've been a fan of for a long time, and then suddenly, boom, I wave this gigantic piece of plastic in his face. And he makes reference to it in the interview.
Well, that's part of our charm.
Yeah, so
the charm's in full effect.
Well, I hope that wet your whistle and you're going to stick around for the Gaffigan interview, because we're going to, of course, tease that and play that soon. But as always, let's get it started off the show with a fantastic song that all the kids will be dancing to next week. This is the High Lie Savants. Savant, no S, damn it. Was White on White Crime by the High Lie Savant, and that is my pick. I know all the little indie hipsters out there know this band already and know they're going to be big, but this is my pick for next big band, the next block party, the next whoever. Was that great or what? You guys are still dancing. I mean, look
that,
at you.
That was a fantastic.
You guys are sweating tune. A bit.
High Lie Like the Game?
High Lie Like the Game. Are you familiar with the game, either of you guys?
Yes, ceramic ball.
That's right. It's a very dangerous game.
People get killed playing that game.
They do.
Wasn't that pictured at the beginning of the Miami Vice?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
At the beginning of Miami Vice, there was a guy throwing a highlight ball.
Do you know how I first learned about highlight, first time I ever heard of it?
Todd. You spent a summer with the Native Americans.
No.
You played on the Philadelphia Mastodons, famous highlight team from Philly?
It has a pop culture reference from when we were kids.
Well, there was that plastic, that black plastic thing, and the yellow ball.
Yeah, but that's
zip
not
ball?
It.
What was that called?
I don't know what that was called.
Trackball.
Trackball.
It was called trackball.
Like High Lie Light.
The first time I ever heard of High Lie was on the original Pong game. There were four or five games you could play, one of them was High Lie.
Oh.
There was Pong, you know, the basic Pong game. Then there was tennis, racquetball, hockey, and High Lie. Which, as a kid, I was like, what's Jal a lie or whatever?
Boy, you're a dumb kid.
I was a dumb kid, yeah.
That is, as I said, that was White on White Crime, and that is off their new CD. It will be out at the end of March, beginning of April, called Flight of the Bass Delicate on goldstandardlabs.com. It's the label. And they're a Philly band, but now, sadly, they're in Chicago. So I guess you would call them Chicago by way of Philly. So they've been around a while, and they had a great song out 2 years ago with the words Scarlett Johansson in it. It was kind of like a little riff on them loving her. But, you know, I normally don't like that kind of, you know, little kind of cutesy crap title, but the song was fabulous. Todd, we wet the whistle of the people who, a lot of the Gaffigan fans are probably listening right now. And even if you're not fans, I guarantee you that you will just embrace this guy right away. Don't you think?
He's
not lewd. He's not outrageous. He's just a Midwesterner with a good sense of humor and a perfect delivery.
He's not lewd. That you just mentioned that, and there's something to be said for that. And I don't ever listen to a comedian and say, "Oh, they're too dirty."
Yeah,
but
neither.
When you hear a guy who's not, you have a lot. I have a lot of respect for that because he kind of can open himself up to any and every market. I mean, it's appropriate for almost anyone.
And you're not sitting there saying, "God, I wish he just said the word vagina a couple times."
Yeah, you don't miss it.
It's the same thing.
What, vagina?
It's the same thing with music. I remember that was one of the things that really rubbed me the wrong way about the last Beastie Boys album.
I remember you saying that.
It was like every other word was an F-bomb, and it was so cheap and so easy. You know, it's just so much better if somebody can make you feel something or make you laugh or whatever without having to go there, because it's a lowest common denominator. It's not necessary, you know?
And we got to, if we mention Gaffigan, I think he's also very well known for anyone who watches Conan O'Brien. Gaffigan comes on every now and then, and he has a thing called Pale Force. It's an animated cartoon where Jim is the palest man on the planet, and he's a superhero. And his very effete, kind of girlish little sidekick is Conan. So the big joke is always that Jim makes himself this great superhero, and the little, you know, kind of girly sidekick is Conan, and it is beyond funny. You could go to NBC.com or Conan O'Brien, type in Pale Force, and just watch the episodes. They have the season finale cliffhanger. It's out now, and it's fantastic. We don't know if Conan's going to make it to the next season.
Well, I hope so.
Does he do his voice?
I don't know who does. Whoever does the voice does all the voices.
No, Jim Gaffigan does all the voices.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan does.
Oh, and he does Conan's voice.
Oh, if you hear Conan's voice, it's...
Okay. I hate to say it, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
Here's some Gaffigan for you.
I love our holiday traditions, like the Christmas tree, where we go out and we chop down a tree and we put it in our living room. Kind of sounds like the behavior of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up. Honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room?
I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus. And then I'm going to hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy. Maybe I'll tie some leaves to the ceiling, see if I can get some action. But now I got to puke on that couch. Merry Christmas.
Some people get so into Christmas, they decorate their yards. It seems completely backwards. All right, chop down that tree, bring it in here. Take all these lights, put them out there. Oh, I really gotta get a job. He's anti-Christmas. Easter, that's a weird tradition.
Easter, the day Jesus rose from the dead, what should we do?
How about eggs?
Oh, well, what does that have to do with Jesus?
All right, we'll hide them.
I don't follow your logic.
Don't worry, there's a bunny.
Ridiculous.
Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving, it's like we didn't even try to come up with a tradition.
The tradition is we overeat.
Hey, how about Thanksgiving we just eat a lot?
We do that every day.
Oh, what if we eat a lot with people that annoy the hell out of us?
Oh, he's the anti-fan.
Most of us use holidays so we can eat more. You know, I normally don't have a burger, a brat, and a steak, but it is 4th of July. And I need the energy if I'm going to start blowing crap up. And that's what the founding fathers would want. My favorite holiday is Halloween, and not just because women use it as an excuse to dress like prostitutes. You ladies totally do. I'm a witch, if she was a hooker. I'm Little Miss Muffet. I'm sure you are. Hey, that almost sounded dirty, fella. As a kid, Halloween was amazing. You dress like a superhero, you bang on your neighbor's door, and they give you candy. I do that today, my neighbor wants me arrested. Probably because I make a hot cat woman. Kitty wants some candy.
So that was Jim Gaffigan from his album Beyond the Pale. A lot of the material from that album was what he was doing when we saw him in Atlantic City, and that's where this interview comes from, as we saw him in Atlantic City, caught up with him. And about 75% of the material that you hear from that and some new stuff that he's working on, and it was really interesting for me to, after seeing the show, listen to the album and be able to identify the stuff that he was working out or that he had written since then.
Like you know, when you go hear bands and songs, do you try to sing along to his jokes? Like, do you try to do it like you're like, yeah, you know, and you try to like do the punchline?
People next to you are going, excuse me, I came here to hear him.
There are. You know, yeah. Back in the day, like with those horrible...
Like Dice
Clay. Like when Dice was huge. He would throw out, you know, the beginning of the joke, and then like every, you know, knucklehead from Staten Island.
Everybody now.
Yeah. Oh, well. Let's get back to the funnies, guys. Here is Todd Marrone interviewing Jim Gaffigan, part one.
Todd Marrone reporting for UsedWigsRadio.com. I am here with Jim Gaffigan. That's right, Jim Gaffigan, one of our, I think, one of our most favorite comedians. We've played your material. We've played Sarah Silverman. We like Dimitri Martin, Todd Barry, and we've interviewed Mike Birbiglia. Being a comedy insider,
yeah.
Who else would you suggest to people that maybe aren't as well known, but of a similar ilk? I think smart, funny, subtle stuff.
Well, I think Zach Galifianakis is really funny too, and I love Ian Bagg. Ian Bagg is he's a Canadian guy based out of L.A., but he's like one of the, you know, a rare breed of like a crowd work guy that is like truly organically funny. It's not a lot of nice shirt, you know, kind of stuff. And, but, you know, Eugene, all those invite them up, guys are great. And, you know, it's weird because some of it is, you know, you know, when I was coming up, I knew so many more comics. But now that I'm, you know, I've got two kids and I'm doing, you know, these theaters, it's like I have less time to go and do some of these alternative rooms where, you know, the more creative stuff. I mean, I did a show on, I guess, Thursday night where there were some really funny people, but I couldn't tell you their name.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that you've maybe gone to or you've arrived at a certain level, and you had people here tonight that were just biding their time and waiting for the Hot Pocket material, which has become kind of like the free bird of your set, right? Is that a curse or is that a blessing?
I think it's definitely a blessing. It's kind of like what... you know, for me, and, you know, as long as I keep the comedy nerds, which I would assume you and I are both, you know, if it gets people there, it's so much easier and funner to do a show with people that understand your sensibility. That's why alternative rooms are so attractive. And so I feel like I can, if Hot Pockets gets them there and they, you know, they go along with that sensibility, It's really a blessing because they know my point of view and they're on my side, as opposed to, you know, when I do the inside voice, you know, where people don't know who I am, they're just like, dude, this shit's just weird.
And speaking of the inside voice, and those of you who don't know, we'll play a segment before or after, and you'll be familiar, and it's kind of this running dialogue that you're having, and it seems like it's almost based on perhaps a Midwestern housewife.
Yeah.
So tell me, is that based on somebody that you know, or is that just kind of an amalgam of a bunch of people reacting?
You know, it started as a character. Like, when I first started doing stand-up, I couldn't get stage time in comedy clubs, and so you know, before they were called alternative rooms, there were like these, everyone was trying to be Eric Bogosian and do a lot of characters. So I did this character of this woman that was really, you know, dissatisfied with everything. And the character's kind of evolved where it's somebody who's very conservative and also very PC And, you know, just it's a hypersensitivity. But where it started, I'm not sure. Some of it is I'm a slow-talking Midwesterner, and so it's kind of developing in the Northeast. It's like I couldn't have a moment where there was a break to give some knucklehead to go, you know, do a dick joke. You know what I mean? So it kind of was a function of, and it was something that, that kept my show very organic off the faces. And it, so it adds a lot of improv typically to shows where if there is, because each face kind of tells a story. And so and some of the faces, you know, stand-up's this conversation, really. And some of the faces in the audience tell a really kind of strange, people react to different things, you know. Some people are highly offended by a religious joke, and some people are offended by jokes about eating animals, you know. So it's, there's a lot of different sides of it, and it's really fun. And some of it is just, we all have that inner critic in our head, and it's just kind of empowering it rather than, like, trying to deny it.
And I think sometimes people find it very funny or satisfying because you're saying what they're thinking to a certain extent and making a caricature of that voice inside their head or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't really kind of peddle in, like, a reverence, but I do kind of come close to the line of, you know, saying things that, you know, some of the people that just came for the Hot Pockets would find kind of strange, you know, like, whether it's talking about, like, Jesus trying to talk God out of the dying on the cross or, you know, it's also my self-criticism, too. So it's kind of like if I do too many, like, I have a joke where I talk about, you know, the difference between people that ride horses and motorcycles and bicycles. It's like, every time I do that joke, I hear that it's, you know, it's like the punchline is, you know, why are people that ride they're always called gay. And the thing is, like, that's kind of a cheap, easy joke. And so, like, the inner critic kind of lets people in the audience know that I know it's an easy, and, you know, like the grandma dying, you know, being dead for 20 years. It's like, I let them know that it's a little bit of a, not a stunt, but it's a little bit of a formula joke that I've done.
Like it's
Wigs Radio with Jim Gaffigan, the whitest shade of pale.
Switching gears a little bit, our podcast plays a lot of music, and we talk about, we review, and we play alternative type music. I'm wondering what a Jim Gaffigan happens to have on his digital music player.
Well, I would say that I possibly am the only comedian that doesn't want to be a musician. I feel like every single other one is like, well, you know, I can play the drums and I can do stand-up. But some of it is like, I'm not like, you know, the music thing is like, I just get nervous. It's like when I'm talking to a deadhead and I go, yeah, hey, I like the Grateful Dead. And they're like, really? Did you listen to 1982 when they were in Austin? So I get nervous, you know, like I did a celebrity playlist and it's like, you know, some of it is I listen to, like, a lot of different things. But I'm also a lazy man. Like, you know, to really get into music and understand some of the, you know, the great, you know, music that's happening, it takes a lot of effort. And I don't have the time or desire. You know, it's not something I'm proud of. But, you know, it's like, I like Van Morrison and the Killers, but... You know, and the Foo Fighters. But, you know, I'm always kind of like, I don't know if that's cutting edge. I sometimes feel when people talk about indie music, you could just say anything and it would sound like a band. Like, it's like, I really like Lettuce. Have you heard Lettuce? Lettuce is great. And also...
I would agree. Like, it's the Emperor's New Clothes.
They're not as good as Romaine Lettuce. They're really doing some interesting stuff with synthesizers. And the writing of the Radishes is just insane. I mean, it's just great. I mean, I feel like that guy, you know, it's not as good as their first CD, but, you know, when that guy left the Radishes to become Celery Sticks, I was like, I didn't think the Radishes, you know, but then again, the drummer moved up and he sang. And who would have thought it, you know?
So. That's perfect. What kind of advice would you give to an aspiring albino?
Jeez. Well, thank you. I would say, you know, that which makes us different only makes us stronger. But it's hard to have, you know, the whole Pale Force thing, which use wig. You guys were like one of the first ones. I think you guys, not the radio, but the website listed it as like, you know, best movie or whatever. And me and my, you know, Paul Noth is the creator of Pale Force and we write them and I do all the voices, but Paul, you know, who's the cartoonist for The New Yorker, we were both so excited. It's like, used wig! It's like listed as a credit on the Pale Forest page of my website.
That's great.
Which is, that's what it's all about. Because, you know, you can always cash in and be a game show host, you know, but it's, you know, having some of the respect of your peers. I mean, the first 7 years I did stand-up, the only credit I had was that Dave Attell thought I was funny. Mm-hmm. And so, it's not something that I take for granted, you know.
Well, we're certainly flattered that you're pleased to be a part of Use Wigs, and we're happy to have you here again on the podcast. Speaking of the PR machine here, you're currently in a TBS sitcom called Our Boys.
My Boys.
My Boys.
My Boys. I can tell you watch it a lot.
I have.
Is it called Our Town? No, it's not called Our Town.
Tell us a little bit about that. New episode's coming out this summer.
I play a sex machine where I sex it up with different hot ladies. It's about a woman in Chicago who's a sports writer and the men in her life, and I play her brother who's married, and I actually got married to prepare for the role. And you know, it's a fun show. You know, there's always a gamble when you do TV shows, you know, because there's a greater chance that it'll be bad than good. You know, people seem to like it. You know, it's single camera, which I think always helps, you know, the reality of a show as opposed to, you know, the four camera kind of like traditional according to Jim thing. It's hard to, you know, since Seinfeld and, you know, I didn't watch Everybody Loves Raymond, but it's like, I feel like those were like the last good shows that did that.
Are there any shows that you tune into every week?
I find it hard to make a commitment to a show. Like, I love Law & Order. Like, we did a Pale Force Law & Order because my wife and I watch a Law & Order episode, you know, every night, you know, with DVR. But I like the original. I'm not into, SUV or SVU or whatever. But, you know, Criminal Intent's alright. But I love Law & Order because it's like, you just commit, you know, an hour and then you're satisfied. You don't have to sit there and go, alright, like 24, you're like, well, all right, that was just 1 hour of the day.
See you next week.
Right? Yeah.
Well, you took us through comedy, music, and TV, and we appreciate your time. The set was great. The show was fantastic. To find out more, you have your own website?
Yes, jimgaffigan.com, and I believe I'm gonna be at the Tower Theater in Philly on September 29th.
Okay, maybe we can catch up with you again there.
You're going to be a sponsor of the show.
So we really appreciate your time. Awesome thanks show. Fantastic.
Thanks. And thanks for bringing your portable, what is this thing called? It's the size of a motorcycle. is there some guy in that machine cranking it?
We have a stenographer inside, and he just takes the transcript.
Used Wigs Radio. A hot pocket full of nonsense.
Okay, so that was the interview with myself and Jim Gaffigan. Thank you.
Nice job.
There was
you didn't embarrass us.
There was a lovely tray of like lunch meat and stuff that it still had a wrapper on, and I felt funny about asking.
Now you were with your wife and another couple. What were they doing while you were interviewing?
You know what? They were on the couch and they were hysterical, especially when he was riffing about the make believe band names, and they were just going nuts. And
well, your wife's a laugher and her sister's a laugher,
yeah,
so they must have been just
like
giggling up a storm.
And I think that it kind of actually I had reservations about parading kind of a field trip back there. But, you know, he was really hospitable, said, oh, I'll bring everybody back. And they're kind of sitting on the couch. And I think having them there was helpful because he was reading their reactions to certain things, and he really ran with that segment in particular because
right.
I think the reactions that they were giving him, even though you can't necessarily hear them because they were stifling it. So, but it worked out well. And then between the interview...
We played a little song, didn't we?
You heard Aqueduct with Split the Difference. That's the name of the song, Split the Difference, from the album... Or Give Me Death.
I like how we did that. Little Gaffigan, little funnies, then a little music, back to the funnies. My only concern is the people here, they probably miss us, our voices, listening to us. That was a good, maybe, you know, 20 minutes of no us. We apologize, people. We know why you listen to us. And we're going to talk now for 40 minutes straight.
What are you looking at me like that for?
You guys aren't up for talking 40 minutes straight?
Russ got something for us. Huh? Yeah, something for us.
Yeah, Russ, you look like a tea kettle ready to burst. You got something to tell us? What's going on?
Well, you know, I do have a little something to talk about. As you guys know, I just got back from a little European vacation.
Awesome.
I was in Prague, Vienna, and Budapest. And over there isn't much to watch on TV, obviously. So late at night, you can flip around and you can see, you know, crazy things in other languages, and that's interesting. But once, you know, we found ourselves watching, there's two things, either CNN... Or European MTV.
Sweet.
So...
there's no choice there, Rob.
Yeah, well, I watched more MTV over that trip. You know, at night,
yeah.
We were getting ready in the morning, we were getting ready and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We had it on all the time. And MTV over there is completely different than here, obviously.
They play music?
They do play music, but also there was like a bottomless pit of shows about Bam Margera. Uncensored crap. It was ridiculous. And like there was... The stuff that they show, there was like a show about the Bloodhound Gang, which is from Philly.
Right.
And they were like literally peeing on each other, all this kind of stuff, and they were showing it all.
They don't censor it.
Nothing censored. But
go all the way to Eastern Europe to see yeah. Bam Margera, whatever his name is, from yeah. Westchester.
Right. And they're just, you know, cursing very freely, showing things they would never show here. I mean, you know, my wife was going, wait, whoa. Did I just hear what I think I heard? I said, well, you know, we are in Europe.
What was the premise of them peeing on each other, though?
You know, that band, they're just all about... They're just very sophomoric in every way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and they own up to it. I mean, they have an album called Hooray for Boobies, so come on. You know, but
right.
on stage, this one guy, it's like their shtick, he pees on the other guy. That's what they do.
Oh, okay.
And, like, not, like, on his leg. Like, stands up on top of him and pees, like, on his face uh-huh. while he's trying to sing a song.
Yeah, I used to pay good money for that.
Yeah. But anyway, that's besides the point. So, anyway, a couple years ago, I told you guys, when I saw the video for My Humps... Accidentally,
yeah.
That was the low point of recorded history.
Right,
that,
right.
That was the low point, and I wondered what was going to be next. and now on my trip, I have seen it. So I now will call out the absolute worst thing happening in music today.
Hold on, let me
guess.
Yeah, because is it someone who's also in the United States, like equally popular here?
Oh yeah,
and there?
It's somebody that we all know of, but. I was more exposed to it because it was on just relentlessly over there.
Male or female?
Female.
Worst thing, Gwen Stefani.
That's it.
Yeah,
Gwen Stefani.
She's the biggest sellout. Just doing anything, she'll follow any trend, anything just to kind of make some money.
I'm telling you, man, I was yelling at the TV, and you know, Lise was laughing at me. I couldn't say enough about how ridiculously horrible what she's doing right now. And if you want examples out there, listeners, here's two things: go on the web and look up and watch her video for "Wind It Up," the most moronic piece of crap you have ever seen or heard. And then go and Google her lyrics and read the lyrics to her song "Yummy" off her latest album. Wow. I'm talking...
Hold it. A song called "Yummy" is not that deep lyric-wise, Russ?
I'm just... You know, that's the thing. She's so base and so... There's just...
If you want to be moronic, if between watching people pee on each other in her videos, that's more moronic. Yeah.
But I'm telling you.
But you know what's great? If 5 years ago, you saw all these women, Nelly Furtado, who was singing like "I'm Like a Bird," really going for that singer-songwriter kind of, you know, like earnest thing... Gwen Stefani, "I'm a punker, I'm ska." You know, they're all doing their thing. And then a few years later, like, Christ, none of this crap's selling. All right, get Timbaland to produce my album, throw on Redman or Old Dirty Bastard or, you know, some rapper, and I'll sing about, you know, just nonsense. And it sells. Nelly Furtado is like,
And the thing about Gwen Stefani is, and I don't understand how people can't see this, it is so forced.
It's so
calculated and so forced. And that brings me to my other point.
Uh-oh.
That music now has become... And Jeff, you've alluded to this in the past with like your mashups and everything. Do you guys remember when we were kids, they had the Marvel team-ups comic books?
Yeah.
Where they would take two heroes and put them together?
Certainly.
That's what music is now. Because what comes on but Puff Daddy and Christina Aguilera together.
Right.
And then so-and-so and so-and-so together.
And that was always like the crappier characters and the writers that weren't as good and the artists that weren't as good, but
I don't know what the name of the song is, but there's this Christina Aguilera and Puff Daddy song where they're together, and they even show them like they're superheroes. It's like the one starts the video, and then when the other one comes in, it's like ba 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 ba, and like the wind is blowing, and it's like, oh shit, it's Christina, she's in the video too, and they're going back and forth, and they're like they're walking towards each other, and they're the wind is blowing them away from each other, like all this. It's
obviously
like,
this isn't music made for us.
No,
it's just made for, you know what I said it before. Puff Daddy has single-handedly done the most to ruin music in my lifetime. He has taken sampling, everything like that, and just taken the crappiest parts of music where it takes the least effort to do, put them all together, and then, like, you know, releasing 5 Biggie Smalls albums, even though the guy only really made one album, like that whole concept, like the Tupac thing. Just taking really nothing and just marketing it different, throwing it out there.
But the same has been done with the Beatles and the Doors. And
are you saying there's a couple greatest hit Beatle albums?
What? Well, but anyway, all of this brings me to our next song. And this one, Gwen, this goes out to you.
Yeah, Russ.
You need to listen to this. And this is what dance music can sound like if you're doing something cool and not just pandering to the lowest common denominator. This is what it sounds like. This is a band called CSS. Listen closely.
Keep pivot. Cause you know what you don't wanna. Cause you want but you can't have it. Cause you know what you don't wanna. Cause you want but you can't have it. Cause you know but you don't wanna. Cause you want but you can have it.
Radio. I'm Jim Gaffigan, and I love you.
Okay, that was CSS with A La La.
That was good stuff, Russ.
Yep.
But did we find out what CSS stands for?
No.
Well, CSS, for all you people out there in computer land, cascading style sheets.
That's not what the band is called.
Oh.
It's like something Spanish. I think they're Brazilian or something like
is
that.
Is it Dos Mujeres en la Cocina? There are two women in my kitchen. Guys, I alluded to earlier something I want to talk about quickly, the South by Southwest Music Fest. Speaking of just talking about stuff that angers you about music, a few years ago, South by Southwest was just this kind of cool, you know, Austin thing where all these bands would go and play for a week in hopes of getting signed. And some of the mid-major labels would be down there and signing people up. It just, you know, happened a week or so ago in March. And right now, it's just this explosion of every thing people hate about indie music nerds, about the guys, you know, with the expensive haircuts, the ironic t-shirts, the tight jeans. Everybody's cooler than thou. Everybody's trying to be either the Decemberists or Arcade Fire, and it's just, to me, a lot of music with a complete lack of balls. It's just these, like, just annoying little hipster guys, and they no longer, it's not trying to get signed. Most of these bands are signed. It's them going down there, being part of a scene that hopefully Entertainment Weekly and People Magazine will now write about because they're down there reporting on it. Now it's like jump the shark. It's corporate sponsors. There's like a giant automaker. You know, I won't name these people. Computer companies, Microsoft. They're all part of it. So they've, you know, of course, taken over South by Southwest. Not that I was so into it at the beginning, but it used to be like CMJ Fest in New York. You know, there'd be a lot of really cool bands. But now, and it's another thing I bitched about before, it's also bloggers. There are, you know, 10,000 music blog sites out there that have built this up, coming up to South by Southwest, like talking about every band ad nauseum, who's going to be there. So that adds on to it. And it's also now this thing where old rockers go there, much like Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, so they're seen there. And,
right.
Yeah,
so, you know, like Sundance used to be like, oh, these indie guys. And you're like, hold it.
People.
Is that George Clooney with a beard and a parka at Sundance? Is he really an indie? Come on, you know.
was he there?
No, that, oh. I'm talking about Sundance. So it's mentality where Sundance is now corporate. All the bigwigs go there. They throw on a parka, get all grunged up, and try to act like they're part of the indie scene. Now you have you know, Iggy Pop.
I was just going to say that. Have you heard the new Stooges
album?
It's
horrible.
It's freaking terrible.
Yeah, it is. And but everybody at Southwest report
soon.
Because they don't dig so deep. Like, this is so great. All these great bands are here. And Iggy Pop showed up. And Pete Townshend showed up. I love Pete Townshend. But he's just kind of, you know, glomming on to, like, yeah. the hipster scene.
And just so there can be, like, a billion magazines that say, passing the torch, blah, blah,
exactly,
blah, blah, blah.
Exactly, exactly. Like, yeah, the Scottish right. band, the Fratellis, who everybody's into, they're the next big thing. Pete played So Sad About Us with them, and it really showed that this is the next logical step in great rock. Really Entertainment Weekly. Is yeah. it?
They said the same thing about when Madonna kissed Britney, and now Britney is crazy with her head shaved and tattooed up with two kids in a
Do you think
rehab center.
Like Madonna passed some sort of evil spirit through her you into think? To Maybe. Britney, and
it was like a trick.
Anyway, so South by Southwest, the festival officially dead. It's just another corporate piece of crap where every annoying band goes for a while, which is nice because then you don't have to like you know.
It's just tough to have something that's independent when it's just so connected with commerce.
You're right.
Right?
It's
like
true.
Once commerce gets all mixed up and stuff, it's not independent anymore.
Well, Todd, we're going to have a show, and we discuss it all the time. There is nothing left in the world that you happen upon or come across any joy in life that is not directly or indirectly trying to sell you something.
In our world.
In our world.
Yeah.
And I brought up, I simply said, walking down the street and seeing a nice piece of public art, a sculpture. And then you said, well, it's still the sculptor showing his wares and, you know, kind of promoting his wares.
And the I guarantee that he got that commission because there are council members that said, we need public sculpture
right.
so that they can take a photograph of it and put it on their website. You know, okay. like, blah, blah, blah is a great place to live and come All visit right. downtown scenic
yeah.
Schmugginville.
Don't go to Schmugginville. Go to
Hohokus. Hotels are so overpriced.
Go to Hohokus before you go there. Well, that's a whole.
That
that's a really
yeah.
nice riffing, Todd. Nice. That's a whole other show, and we want to do some research on that. And I'm going to task you guys to come up with three or four, or maybe five, true joys in life that are not trying to just sell you something. Ponder that while we play another song, guys. Let me go on our big song machine jukebox here and see what's up next. Up. It looks like it's one of our favorite bands, all three of us. From the Great White North, this is The Weaker Bands.
Don't
Rusty Static, before you talk about that fantabulous song, I have to call you out because you are normally the stickler for the no band gets played twice without a good reason. Rusty, do you have a good reason?
I do have a good reason.
All right.
But here's the thing. Also, we amended that rule.
Did we?
That a band can be played twice if their second playing is within the context of a theme show.
Article 304B, Section 1, right. Jeff. Look it up.
And they also can be played twice if they are a... if they are featured and they are played as a bit. Okay, those are the rules.
All right.
But anyway, the reason why I'm playing the Weaker Thans tonight and playing them for the second time is that that song that you heard is off of a new tribute album to the Rio Statics.
Russ, well, just don't say the Rio Statics like everybody knows them. This is in Canada, Russ.
Right, okay.
Does everyone know them in Canada?
Yes.
Most people, I would think. But here's the deal. The reason why the tribute album was put out, and it has people on it like the Bare Naked Ladies, like the Weaker Thans, bands that even haven't been together for a while, they got back together to do to work on this. And they all did it unbeknownst to the band because the Rio Statics is, they are a band's band. I mean, I've been saying it for years that, you know, if you're into quirky, interesting music, you can't do any better than picking up a copy of Whale Music, their 1993 album. It is just seminal. And in Canada, you know, everybody, I would say everybody who's into good music is aware of that album up there. So all these bands, the Rio Statics, their last show is this Friday. I'm traveling up there with my wife and some friends to see the last show at Massey Hall in Toronto. And,
okay, Russ, questions. Questions from Peanut Gallery. Triumph, are they on this album? The band
Triumph is not on the
okay,
album.
Russ. April Wine. Are
April
the
Wine is not on the album, Jeff.
Rush?
Nope.
All right.
Although
how
Neil
about...
Peart did play on Whale Music.
Oh, okay.
He guested on a song.
So the three greatest Canadian bands are not on there.
It'd have been weird if they they presented them with this cover album. They were like, oh, we already have... you know, this is embarrassing. But
yeah, we already.
Well, I mean,
we how, Rush, how about
there's really no, there's no greater gift.
All right, let me name some. They kind of dabbled in indie music. So are the Canadian punk bands like SNFU, DOA?
You should look at the
I'll
Inbreds.
Look at the
you ever heard of the Inbreds?
No,
well, they're on there. You should look at the.
I live
the
with
trends.
Inbreds, Russ. I don't need to listen to them. oh yeah, I'll take a look at that. That sounds interesting. I dig the tribute albums, especially if it's a good band and you can hear. Speaking of, there's a great tribute album out now, Tribute to the Replacements. A bunch of indie bands did a really nice one. You can go on eMusic and just put in Replacements and check that out. So this Weaker Thans track, which I thoroughly enjoyed, Russ, one of the strongest songs on the album, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And that song was Bad Time to Be Poor. And that is off the Rio Statics album originally called The Blue Hysteria.
Very, very nice, Russ.
When Russ talks about music sometimes, he looks up in the air like a savant.
Like a high-life savant?
Yeah, he's a savant.
Like he's just talking.
Yeah.
Like he's rocking back and forth. Do you feel like you should throw a packet of toothpicks on the ground just so Russ can start counting them all as we...
That or like or hold my tongue with a pencil so I don't
gag on it. They tell you not to do that anymore, though, by the way, just in case you encounter someone who's having a seizure.
Gotcha.
We play a lot of people, like, if they listen to us, like, oh, this is the podcast that plays Philly music, or this is the podcast that's from Canada. You know what I mean?
We're kind of a combination.
We've
combination
because
right.
So many people out there are like, it's weird. I have a half hour during the day. I want to hear Canadian music, or I want to hear Philly music. You know, and for those people that want to hear both, right here, Newsweek's Radio. So we're going to play right now a Philly band, Rich Kaufman's band, and this is his new one called Foxy Cotton. Little play on the drug some of you are familiar with. And Rich has been in so many great Philly bands, starting out with Electric Love Muffin to the Rolling Hayseeds, just kind of an institution of, and he's always kind of a step ahead. He was in to like the alt country with the Rolling Hayseeds before it was big. And this is his band, Foxy Cotton, with Next Time You're On Your Own. That was Foxy Cotton with Next Time You're On Your Own. And I might be wrong, but I think that was also co-written, Rich Coffin with Brian Seymour, a good friend of the show, Brian Seymour. Guys, this is a little section of the podcast we like to call What You Listening To?
Oh, yeah.
Todd, what you listening to?
About 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I saw the Apples in Stereo perform at the North Star, which Russ has performed a couple times, and they're really good, and that gave me Apples in Stereo fever. So I've been listening to their newest album, New Magnetic Wonder, and I would say it's maybe their strongest, definitely one of my favorites of theirs.
All right, Russ, what's going in your ears?
I've been mellowing out since I returned from the trip, so I've been checking out the new Green Cards album. The Green Cards. It's, you know, very chip. I'm still stuck on the ladies from a couple of podcasts ago. So female lead singer. They're excellent musicians. It's very chill, kind of folky stuff.
Are they Latin?
No. I think they are from another country though. And then I've also been listening to the new album by Blonde Redhead, which is also female lead singer there too.
Aren't they an old band?
I don't know how old they are. They have about 6 or 7 albums.
Yeah, they've been around a while.
Blonde Redhead.
Jeff, what are you listening to? Well, Jeff, let me tell you. I am totally into Ted Leo and the Pharmacist.
Oh, his new album.
Oh, the new album, yeah.
It's great.
Living with the Living. Outstanding. Check out the song Bomb, Repeat, Bomb.
That's getting a lot of press, that album.
Well, he took a little political stance. I think Ted's a little tired of the way things are in America right now. And Ted Leo is a true, true punk, dyed in the wool, just leads the lifestyle, walks the walk. Great guy. And there's a new article on him in the latest Punk Planet. Check that out. Jeff is also listening to a band called Small Sales, and their bed is playing right here underneath us. Listen, that's pretty good stuff, isn't it? It's just so chill, so relaxing, just fantastic. That's a band out of Portland. Go to myspace.com/smallsales and check that out. And lastly, I am listening to Love Me Destroyer. It's a pretty rockin' band. These are it's the guys from Pinhead Circus. It's Suburban Home Records, and it's myspace.com. Love Me Destroyer. It will rock you, and it will destroy you. And that's a good thing. People, we always end our show with probably one of everybody's favorite sections called shout-outs. Wouldn't you say?
I think when the shout-out comes on, it's almost like it's communion of church, you know, like, you know, it's towards the end.
Like you shake, you're like, like you're shaking hands.
Yeah, you're shaking hands and the
benediction
with you.
Starts playing.
Everybody's in a good mood.
Good or bad, it's just, right. Just about over.
Yeah,
pleasure stuff.
For you like Catholics out there, like when the shaking hands part comes, everybody's in a good mood because you know it's just like, get the cookie, walk up, get the cookie, and you're out of there. Because a lot of times you could leave right after communion. Like a lot of people would, you know.
They're up anyway. Just walk
they're
right up.
They're
door.
Like, I'm not sitting down for the
hate
last.
Hate to eat and run, but.
All right, shout outs. Todd, you look like you want to shout. You're looking very antsy right there.
I'm ready to go.
Go.
Recently got a case of a delicious beer brought to us by the good people at Brooklyn Brewery. It's the Brooklyn Black Chocolate Stout. And it's not cheap. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's $30 a case, but I'm rich, so.
Right.
And, but it's like 11% alcohol, and that's not how I buy my beer. But, all things being said, two later, you're feeling great, and, I mean, it actually warms your esophagus on the way down. And two Fridays ago, we had a lot of inclement weather, ice and snow, so Heather and I stayed in, we had one or two each, and then I found myself at the computer buying an alarming amount of t-shirts. So, in the last week and a half, like every day, a t-shirt or two is coming to
what?
The house.
Where'd you buy them from?
Just everywhere. Like, I just decided, I had a couple drinks, I sat down at the computer. Like, you know how they say, don't drink and drive? And I do not, but I'm going to add to that list, don't buy apparel on the web.
Because I noticed during the show, you've worn three different t-shirts you're
well,
at,
yeah,
and it just kept changing. They're all funny.
He's like Madonna, he keeps going off.
A costume change, yeah. They're just coming, they're rolling into the house.
As you're opening the packages, are you glad you bought them?
So far, so good, yeah. But I was like, oh yeah, I remember buying this, I remember getting this, but a couple $100 later.
That's something to do, I guess, when you're drunk.
I'm crazy!
That is a great beer. I was over at Todd's, and I had one, and it felt like having three. It's the one beer to have when you want three because of the alcohol content. Russ, you going to shout anything out?
I am. In fact, I have two shout-outs, but I will only waste one tonight, so I'll keep one in reserve.
Wow.
Recently, you guys know the name Zay Frank?
Zay Frank?
Is it Zay Frank?
I think it's Zay Frank.
It's hard because you only just read it on the website, but it's a great website.
I think he says his name is Zay Frank.
Zay Frank.
But that's the guy who most people are familiar with because way, way back he had that How to Dance website. But his website is zayfrank.com, which is zefrank.com. And there is a ton of stuff on there for wasting time. There's just a lot of content. A lot of it's hit or miss, but there's some great laughs in there. And basically, he just wrapped up doing, he did like a daily podcast or telecast for a year. And he just wrapped that up. And I think he did get a deal on a network or to develop something. So we'll be seeing some more of him.
That's great.
He seems like a really good guy.
Yeah.
He's very creative. Definitely would be the kind of guy that I'd love to catch up with for the podcast.
And it's inspirational to see a guy who just has a lot of cool, fun, creative ideas. And is able to parlay that into a deal, you know, or getting business or getting work from it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Popped Philly Fest, myspace.com, Popped Philly, April 9th and 15th. A lot of great Philly bands playing, alternative venues.
Dr. Dog will be playing.
Dr. Dog, who we're going to end the show with a Dr. Dog song. Dr. Dog, the Cobbs, Affirmative Action Jackson, very good band, very punk band. Yamo's Deaf, and a lot of other good things. So check out myspace.com, Pop Philly, April 9th and 15th. Also like to always give shout-out to Joe Rogan for continually calling out Carlos Mencia. The man who is single-handedly ruining comedy. Much like Puffy's ruining music, Carlos Mencia and his nonstop beaner jokes. Joe Rogan has enough FU money, he doesn't care, calls him out. And there's a latest clip where they play a bit from, classic bit from Bill Cosby, fantastic bit, and they contrast it with Carlos Mencia stealing the exact bit, maybe changing five words. It's ridiculous, and this guy is still the top of the comedy food chain. You can't stop him. And lastly, by the time this is out, Use Wigs Mixtape Volume 3 will be out, so go to usewigs.com. We scour the web looking for well over 20 free MP3s of great bands, free songs. Just go to our website, download them all, burn them, and you got yourself a brand spanking new CD of music. And some of the bands you hear right here on Used Wigs Radio. Guys, we're going to wrap it up, like we said, with Dr. Dog, a Philly band. Very popular Philly band now, wouldn't you say?
They're getting a lot of radio play on XPN for sure.
XPN, yes. And a shout out to Bruce Warren at XPN. Why not? Good guy. Guys, that was great. Todd, great interview with Jim Gaffigan. We'd like to thank him again. And everybody check out Pale Force. Just type in Pale Force to your Google search and you'll get all that. His new CD. Well, it's his CD and DVD, Beyond the Pale. And basically anything Jim Gaffigan buy, listen to, and embrace. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, now let's just talk uncomfortably and Russ will keep recording us and then he'll attach it to the end of the podcast and we can listen to it later.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, not comfortably.
I'm going to put a shirt back on.
Time to pay rent when you're home.
listening to Usewig Radio. Here, let me start. I'm a very lazy guy. It's even hard to pronounce words. You're listening to Used Wigs Radio. Are there really any wigs that are not used? Because they're all used, really, right? They're all like horsehair, aren't they? You're listening to Used Wigs Radio, my favorite radio station ever. My name is Jim Gaffigan. Is that right?
Perfect.
Okay.